Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN. My name is Matt Bungard, and with me today, Nick Campton. Hello.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much, but I'll tell you who else is here. The champ is here, Grayson Waller. Welcome.
This is so good because my rate went up now that I have the championship, so you boys had to fork out a little bit more from the Patreons. Thank you,
I know. We only get you for 15 minutes as well, not the full hour. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and wasted a minute talking about yourself, introducing yourself. Think about that.
I will. Mate, first of all, congratulations. We're all very proud of you. We got the Discord and our messages blowing up with people saying, we did get someone says, is this the first WWE title winner to be tangentially related to the podcast? And I was like, well, I'll have to go back and check if Corey Allen ever won a WWE title, but I reckon you're the first.
No, what about, I heard Great Khali, he's a huge Dolphins fan. that counts, right?
He actually came up with fins up.
He did. That's a high fin, dude.
That's a big fin. That's actually what his finishing move, the chop, was actually for the Dolphin. It was actually incredible. A big hammer.
Did a lot of work behind the scenes getting the franchise off the ground. Like didn't want to be up front, you know, just like
was putting out cones at training.
Mate, talks to Wayne once a week. Like Valence Tavare, that was all Khali. Like
good for Khali. What a good bloke.
Yeah. Mate, I guess first of all. Flying your mum over as well, just having the family there and getting something that you've dreamed about since before I even knew you as a little kid. How was it?
Bro, it's surreal. I still don't know if it's hit me. Like, especially, you know, I think it was very fitting, you know, to be at WrestleMania, obviously the biggest show of the year, but for also to be in Lincoln Financial, I'm a huge Philly Eagles fan. So to have that happen and then to have my mum and my auntie were front row, which was, you know, was really cool to look down and be like, you know, they've seen me since I was 8 years old playing with the action figures to then actually be a champion. And because my mum rates how I'm going by if I win or lose after every show. That's okay.
She must think you're going terribly.
Yeah, she thinks I'm one of the worst wrestlers in the world. But luckily now with the championship, she thinks I'm good again. So I've earned some points for that, which is nice.
Fantastic. Was it kind of a weird way to win it? Because like you're probably the first person ever to win a title mid-match and not get like the celebration thing. So, but that's, I kind of think it's kind of classic for your journey and kind of classic for your character at the moment as well a bit.
Mate, there was a hush in the arena. Like when we took it, you always dream you're going to take down the championship in a ladder match at WrestleMania and the crowd is going to come unglued. There was like complete silence. Mostly, it was freezing cold, number one. But secondly, it was like they couldn't believe that, you know, I think it was like 6 minutes in, we've taken down the championship. And not everyone knew that both championships were on the line. You had to take down both. But I loved that. I loved the awkward silence because it meant they were disappointed. And, you know, me and Theory had a good strategy going in. You know, we're just going to hang on the outside, pretend to be hurt. And then when no one's paying attention, we come in. Dude, I flew up that ladder. You know, you see all these memes of wrestlers climbing. Nah, dude, I was practicing. I was in my front yard the past 3 weeks climbing up and down ladders. I am at my best with ladder climbing, and I proved it at WrestleMania.
So, Grayson, you've been a champ for 6 days now, right? Six of the best days of your life, I'm assuming. How has your life changed in that 6 days? Is the sun brighter? Are people smiling at you more? Like, talk me through it. How's it changed?
Mate, it's like everything's going right for me, you know? I did the classic championship go to Disney after you win thing too. I took my family to Disney for a few days, which was a lot of fun. Souths are doing terrible, so that's been really nice. Like it's like everything that I want in life is coming. Like this almost feels like I'm living in a simulation. But to be honest, like the funny thing about being the champion is now that the work actually begins, you know. And Cody said something to me similar a few days ago, and it's like now that you're the champion, now you're on every show, now you're everywhere. You're going everywhere in the country. You're going international. So I'm enjoying the peace and quiet while I have it.
Where are you most excited to travel to in regional America that you haven't been to yet?
Oh, we're in Chattanooga next week. That's going to be a bloody banger, Chattanooga. But the cool thing is now we've got lined up. We've got Paris coming up, then Saudi, Toronto, Berlin. Like, these are all places. There's no way I would ever go to these places in my life. So it is fun getting to go to these different places because, you know, regional America, it's all the same. Wendy's, Taco Bell, it's just the same thing every place. There's barely a gym around. You know, everyone's on their scooters because who likes walking? That's a waste of your time. So I'm excited to go international and see some new places.
I'm glad you mentioned the gym because the other week, in what I saw immediately and was like, oh, they're joking around. But the most transparent attempt to get into a feud with Joey Swole I've ever seen. Were you shocked how many people thought that was real?
Sometimes this stuff is too easy, Bungard. Like, it is. Like, I had a war with Swifties like last year. I'm telling you, it was nothing close. Hands, I reckon I've got over at least 2,000 to 3,000 DMs on Instagram from Joey Swole fans. And they are some of the most horrific messages that you will ever read in your life. Like, I couldn't believe it. Now, luckily, me being me, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I'm reading these messages and laughing. I can't imagine if you were, you know, just a random person who got a bit upset at a gym and had the Swole army after them. But it kind of made me happy in a way because, you know, people like to say certain things about wrestling and its legitimate nature. But, brother, I'm very good at what I do because I've got thousands of people upset, millions of views online. It's pretty much, I've kind of proven my point in a way. And it's fun, dude. You got to have fun on the road. And when we had some fun.
Because you pride yourself on blurring the lines with all that stuff. Like, that day the fan tried to fight you must have been the greatest day of your life.
Brother, I can't tell. And everyone know. This is how I know people know me. Everyone knew because no one said to me, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? Everyone went, oh, you loved that, didn't you? Sad. I've actually got a bit of backstory. Sad point about that story. He actually went to the university of where the stadium campus was and got kicked off the university. He got kicked out of his course for that. And, you know, that's what you get, idiot. Try and mess with Grayson Waller. Boom, gone. I had nothing to do with it, you know.
What if he was like a prodigious astrophysicist and he was going to get us to Mars, but he threw it all away to fight Grayson Waller?
He was 3 weeks away from curing cancer. I ruined it. Oh, well. Sorry. There you go. Sorry, guys.
University deans love Grayson Waller, the thinking man's wrestler. Grayson, you're talking about going on the road, going to all these different places. You represent Western Sydney really well. You're out here calling people flops. I assume you're calling people SJs everywhere. What do you want to show what do you want to show the world about Western Sydney, the Western Sydney you're from?
Bro, a quick little story before I answer. I actually had Jordan Mailata was at WrestleMania. I don't know if you saw, they did a great video on the Eagles website of him just losing his mind. But he messaged me and I went and met up with him. We took a photo and we were like, look at us Western Sydney boys. Look at us just crushing it over here. I've got a few words I still need to get on TV. I haven't called anyone a Gronk yet. And I know the Americans are going to confuse and go, why is he calling him Rob Gronkowski? But the real ones know, you know. I've got Ranger, I've got Flop on TV. Gronk is, like, next in line. The Shoey we've already got. I think maybe maybe I need to dress like an Esche. Maybe I need to start wearing a bag.
Come out with a goon bag.
Oh!
Yeah, that's the play. That's the play.
This is what happens, you know. You know how they do that long-term camera shot now in WWE? Yes. He's like Kevin Owens is walking to the ring all serious and the camera pans to the side. It's me in theory playing Goon of Fortune.
Yes.
Maybe don't do Saudi. Not in Saudi, but somewhere
else. No, unfortunately Saudi can't do it. But Paris has great wine. I think that's a great place. Perfect. To do it.
That's very true. Get a Hill's Hoist over there and just have a crack.
That is maybe the thing I miss most about Australia is the Hill's Hoist. Do you know how annoying it is to like, you got a dryer, it's going to shrink your clothes. I have to basically try a string and attach it myself. Like, Hill's Hoist for the goat.
It's weird. There's like weird little things like that you don't notice aren't in other countries. Like how Americans, every time I remember that Americans don't have kettles and they don't boil, they make tea in the microwave. It blows my mind.
Ready for this one? The sauce packets, brother. Do you know? So you go to have like your burger or whatever, you put the sauce, you have to tear the top, it starts bubbling over. Then you have to like awkwardly squeeze it. Terrible. When we went to Australia and LA Knight had a pie, he was trying to peel open the
the squeezy pack. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, brother, just turn it over. It's the greatest invention ever.
So no one else has that.
No, well, America doesn't have it anywhere.
too efficient for Americans. They couldn't couldn't comprehend it.
Our big exports to the world: chicken salt, sweet chili sauce, and those sauce packets that you can squeeze together. The big three.
Bro, I'll do the sign of the cross when I say them three things, man. That's the big three.
Boys, let's talk off camera because we can't have the Patreons getting involved. We'll make a little company and we'll bring the sauce packets over.
Patent pending.
That's the Grayson Waller effect, baby. So, Grayson, what comes next? Who are you most looking forward to defending the titles against?
There's a lot of options in the draft coming up. So, you know, with the draft coming up, it could send us anywhere. But I think Kevin Owens and Randy Orton are pretending to be friends at the moment. So that would be a fun one. I've been RKO'd probably 75 times in the last 3 months. So it'd be nice to get one back on him. That'd be a huge match. We've got the No Charisma Republic, the two British flops. That would be a fun one. We got to wrestle them recently and they beat us. So we need to get that back. And it's always nice to beat people from the UK. Because, you know, you're bloody cheating on me, mate. You know, they're going to complain. I really want to fight DIY because there's a lot of history of me and Theory and them. And, like, they must be embarrassed that they dressed up like their bosses at WrestleMania and lost. Like, that's tough being a cosplay guy. Like, imagine dressing up as Peter Villanders on the weekend and then you lose. Like, that's a tough look for those guys. So we're ready to take on anyone and anywhere.
We only got a couple of minutes left with you, but this is airing Friday morning, so we'll just pretend that the Roosters Thursday night game has taken place. Gee, what a win for your boys.
Up the bloody chooks. It was crazy, man. Dom Young, man, that guy is on fire.
Isn't
right
he still
now,
suspended?
Okay, we'll recut this, and I'll be like, oh, man, Tedesco coming back from injury. He had an absolute blinder. Is he playing this week? I hope so.
Yeah,
I really hope so.
He should be back. How are you feeling about him at the minute?
Yeah, in general, how are you liking the Roosters season?
Obviously, that's been a bit hit or miss, but they're fun this year, which is something that you can't always say. You know, I think we've got a good mix of youth and experience, and I've really enjoyed watching them. And they're scoring points. Last year, we weren't scoring points. Campo, I'll get you to help me with this. We had a game against South recently. How many points did we score? Because I kind of forget.
From memory, it was a couple.
It was 40.
40 odd, was it? I think.
About 40.
South
barely scored any, which was crazy. So I'm actually absolutely loving it at the moment. And I think I've told Bungard about this before. I found a YouTube channel that I want to put over on this show. It's called NRL Throwback, okay? I'm obsessed. Every night, it uploads like highlights of old games, like 15 minutes, which is like a perfect amount of time. So like last night, I was watching the Sydney City Roosters for the St. George Dragons from 97. We've been watching the Gold Coast Chargers up against the South Queensland Crushers. Mate, I'm all in, and it has relit my love for rugby league. So I'll watch the NRL on the weekend, and then on my flights, I'm watching games from 98, 99. It really has brought back my love. It was so good, dude. Someone just Fittler last night punched someone in the face, and the ref's like, come on, boys, enough of that. And they're like,
Gold Coast, the best. Gold Coast Chargers, number one ticket holder, Grayson Waller. Let's make it happen.
I would never. I'm unlike the NBA and stuff. I would never wear another team's jersey in the NRL. I'm a Roosters fan, but I would make an exception for a team that doesn't exist anymore. And
correct,
that Gold Coast Chargers jersey,
very nice,
is absolute fire. Marcus Bye on the wing, just throwing people around. Boys, NRL throwback, get on it. It'll ruin your life because you won't do anything else.
It's true. Speaking of jerseys, though, like I know that they re-released a new one, but is your White Whale still the OG Razorbacks jersey?
It has to be because I've got my remake with my name on it and all that type of stuff, but I don't have an original. Very difficult to find. I need a
Derek Rucker. Get in touch.
Derek Rucker, I know you're a fan. I know you're a Patreon. Derek Rucker 321. If you could send me one of your old ones, dude, it'd probably be too. Well, he's small, right? Was he tiny? I feel he was tiny.
I feel like making fun of him is not the way to go with this.
I was going
to
say, yeah, little Derek, send me a jersey. That might not work.
And actually, remember they had that round where they put nicknames on the back of their jerseys in the NBL? He was Little Derek, wasn't he?
Little D.
Little D.
Come on, LD.
Well, there's that guy in the NFL right now, Lil Jordan Humphrey. His first name is genuinely Lil Jordan. It's incredible.
He's the Denver Broncos.
America's a different place, man. I love it. He didn't get bullied at school at all.
Well, I mean, he made the NFL, so he's probably good at sports. So that probably got him.
Why he got bullied so much, he had to throw it back.
That makes sense. So why am I not good at sports,
mate? You're one of the best all-age nine players in the mascot region, dude.
Thank you, I appreciate
you up against any other 34-year-old. You're untouchable.
That's very kind of you to say. Appreciate it. What else you got on the horizon besides defending those lovely titles?
We got a lot of work coming up. We've got a bunch of shows, but it's all fun. I'm having a lot of good time at the moment. I'm teaching Siri how to be Australian. He's struggling. I've got him on Ocean Alley. He's obsessed with Ocean Alley. Starting to get him into some Western Sydney hip hop. I'm getting him onto some 1-4. So I'm slowly like infiltrating the Australian hip hop scene into the locker room. I got Dom Mysterio on it too. We're trying to take over the sheds.
If you come out to Spot the Difference at a pay-per-view at some point, that would be unbelievable.
Oh, I actually have a good story for you here with a bit of 1-4. So they must be wrestling fans. They have two songs with wrestling references, and I have showed both wrestlers the reference. First one, I'm wrestling Big Luke Gallows, big terrifying, scary man. I go, Luke Gallows, have you heard this song? I play in the song, and it says in it, call me Festus when you ring the bell.
Yeah, right.
Luke Gallows. Then last week, I talked to William Regal. And I'm like, Mr. Regal, I have something to show you. And he's so English is the best way to describe him. Very professional. He goes, oh, yes, what is it? What have you got? And I played the song, and then it's like 1-4, full Westie accent. Like, they're like, King of the Ring, like William Regal. And he looks at me and goes, oh, yes, I've had a few rap songs about me. I'm very big in that community. The best response. So if 1-4, I know you guys listen to the podcast.
Big fans. Patreon. Patreon name's 1414.
And they share it together, which is cool. Put a bit of more money in, lads. You're doing all right for yourself. But both William Regal and Festus have heard your music now, so you're welcome, lads.
Fantastic. All right, Grayson, always a pleasure to have you on here. And I think I got through the whole interview without calling you by your real name, which is definitely a first.
This you're moving up in the world, mate. You know, ever growing, since you got mate. That mustache, you've been a different bloke.
Very much more newsreadery now, much more professional.
You do, like, it's funny because you're obsessed with The Simpsons, great show, but now you actually look like a Simpsons character, which is awesome. Like, you've got a bit of Ned Flanders about you. Just without the sexy Flanders bod, you know?
Ah, we were doing so well.
That's classic Grayson. Feels like a compliment and an insult at the same time.
Yep.
That's why he's the best.
Backhander, baby.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, boys.
And that was Grayson Waller. He was so disgusted with the Roosters' performance, Camper, that he stormed out of the studio and he can't discuss the loss with us.
Hated it. Despised it. If I was Connor Watson and Luke Keary, I would expect a spray on SmackDown sometime this week.
They're getting the full Grayson Waller effect, you'd imagine. Yeah, what a horrible game that I found enthralling. It was like when those two old people looking at the picture of Kramer, and it's grotesque, but I couldn't look away. He sickens me.
I just couldn't get into this one at all. I just couldn't find it compelling. Even though so you would think that even if a game is not the best, you'd think that if it's tight and there's a big finish, that would kind of get you going. But the coach try was what, was like 7 to go, and
it was a
great effort from Coates, I must say. But it's not like my pulse got moving. And when the Roosters were chasing that late winner, it was the same. I just couldn't summon any dramaturgical energy just because the preceding 80 minutes had been so sloppy.
The game itself was very sloppy, but there were moments in this game. And we'll jump back and talk about a lot of these in individuality, but I'll just run through a few of things really quick. Like, we had like the weirdest challenge of all time off a Falcon in like the first minute. We had like two forwards, Lindsay Collins and Angus Crichton, combining to save a try. We had Appenhausen throwing possibly the worst pass after making a line break since Shannon Hegarty in 2003. Cool. And, an old-fashioned trip, not to mention a vintage Munster sin bin as well. Like, there was, as bad as this game was, there was a lot of stupid shit that happened that made me enjoy it.
If you can't have good footy, have dumb footy.
Exactly. That's exactly, man. Like, there's like a set where the Roosters were attacking the line and Tedesco put a dog shit kick in on like the second tackle and Harry Grant just fell on it. It was great.
Is it possible that you just enjoyed this game because you hate both these teams and they both played badly?
I don't hate the Storm, but maybe.
You kind of not like them.
I hate the Storm far less than the average rugby league fan does. I've never cared when the Storm win comps because it means it's stopped teams I do hate from winning comps. So
okay,
they're the enemy of my enemy. Wouldn't say they're my friend though, which is how that phrase finishes. But regardless, I don't think I hate the Storm. Anyway, this game is really dumb. I agree. Let's go back to the start. Should Jared Weahargo has been in jail? Should nothing have happened, or was penalty sufficient because they got up grinning at each other?
Penalty sufficient because they got up grinning at each other.
I did love that. That was
great. If the boys are okay with it, I'm okay with it.
I think that's got to be the mantra, right? Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
And play on they did.
Yeah, look. I felt like the Roosters, again, incredibly frustrating because they just sort of just refused to go towards what works for them, which is attacking up the center third of the field. I thought Watson and Keary both had pretty tough games. I'm a bit more forgiving of Watson because he's not really a half anymore. He hasn't played there regularly in, I think, 3 or 4 years now. But Keary just really struggled to get him going at all. The Roosters didn't have a line break in this game.
I mean, that's not surprising given that every try came off a kick.
I understand that, but it's also pretty rare that a team would go 80 minutes without busting the line once, unless they get like totally smacked or whatever. I guess it just kind of shows how ineffective a lot of their attacking structures were.
Yeah, I guess their one line break, in inverted commas, was Imani who threw that pass 3 meters forward to Radley.
Yeah. So it just kind of showed how ineffective they were. And because we've seen the blueprint for them of attacking through the middle of the field with such great success, I just don't know why they're not trying to go there more regularly. Yeah, they just seem in total conflict between the way they want to play and what they're actually good at.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And you have to ask why. Like, why is it like this? Is it because they've got so many playmakers out wide that they feel like that's the way they have to play? But like, as I just mentioned, if not for that forward pass, the best bit of play in this game would have been Manu cutting back, coming through the middle and linking up with Radley, which is stuff that they've done so well when they are on top of games in the last couple of years. So I just don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand why they just don't do it all the time.
Well, if we're asking why is it that over the last 4 years, even though they've had a real star-studded roster, why have they slipped down the ladder every season? Why is it that they've won, I think it's one of their last 10 or something like that against the Storm and the Panthers? Why is it that this team that has had so many championship qualities is sort of struggling to rise to that level for such a long time now? Why is it that every time we think they've worked something out, they take another step back? Why anything, you know?
Yeah, so I think this, off the top, I think this is still true, right? So since they won the comp in 2019, I think they've won two finals games and they were both by 1 point. And one of those was against a 10-14 Gold Coast Titans team.
I don't know. And like on that, I've talked a lot about that finals run last year. And even though they went down to Melbourne, I thought the Roosters were sort of rediscovering those championship qualities, but it just seems to be a lesson that they're constantly relearning themselves. So yeah, just a very strange and frustrating football team. I don't want to make it sound like Melbourne was streets ahead of them, but maybe like an intersection ahead.
How do they keep getting away with this? Just winning awful football games.
Well, Dan Ganane posted an interesting stat on his Twitter where he said if games ended in the 70th minute, Melbourne would be 15th.
Yep.
And instead they're top of the ladder. They just keep finding a way to make it happen late in matches, you know, and you can say it's lucky or it's a fluke, but it's happened a lot of times now. Mm. And once something happens enough times, it stops being a fluke because it keeps happening, you know?
Heard that one before.
Mate, it's true. Like, well, you've been talking about Canberra getting fluky tries for 5 years now.
Yep, and it's still a fluke and it never won't be.
Okay, but at some point you have to accept that something's happening. Something's happening. They're doing something.
When I get hit by a car chasing something shiny onto the road and they rush me to hospital, but they can't save me and I'm slipping away on my deathbed, I will tell you, Camper, it wasn't a fluke. How about that?
Yeah, sure. If that'll help you find peace in the next life.
Well, it's why not?
Yeah, look, the Storm started really well. I was loving what Hughes was doing. I thought that
he's great.
That ball from Katoa to him for that first try, that was really sick. I love it when they work towards Katoa, and I love it when they work towards Bloor. I thought Bloor was particularly strong again. I should have seen it coming. I saw Sean Bloor at the Australian Museum earlier that very day.
At what exhibit?
at the minerals exhibit.
Oh, well, he's got the minerals then.
Well, he's the thinking man's back rower.
Mm.
You know, you but I thought he was really strong. I think he's.
Did you ever chat to him about quartz or whatever was on display?
Nah. He was with his girl. I didn't want to bother him.
Cute date, cute museum date.
Yeah,
lovely man.
100%. Yeah, but the storm just sort of made a couple of key plays when they really, really had to. You know, like the Katoa going high to get that bomb,
which was
a really tough catch, and then managing to put it down. I am not sure of the exact wording on the rules with attacking players shoving at other attacking players near the line.
Yeah, he barely touched him.
I know. I'm saying I'm not sure what the wording on the rule is.
My thoughts are, if it makes Trent Robinson really angry and we get very funny screenshots of him in the coach's box, then it should be allowed.
He was very frustrated in the presser. Very frustrated.
Great.
And then Coates's try, again, it's not the best attacking play, but like Coates gets the ball pretty flat footed and manages to push through Warrior Hargraves, Watson, and Crichton,
for so
quite
long.
Strong dudes, and manages to reach out and slam it down. And it was a further example of something we've seen a lot this year, which is just him playing a lot tougher, which is great. And he's finally sort of becoming the player that I think Melbourne thought they were going to get when they signed him a couple of years ago. He's only scored 3 tries this year, but the 3 tries are that crazy one against the Warriors, that incredible take against the Broncos, which I found out last week got Mark of the Week in the AFL.
Yeah, they said that on the commentary last night. Incredible.
Crazy, yeah. And then this one last night, which was the match winner. So he's coming up with really big plays in really important moments. Yeah. So it's very impressive.
What a bit of working across the aisle from our Sharon counterparts.
Well, Melbourne have always had that about them. They were warming up last night by kicking a Sharon around on the hallowed SFS turf. I didn't like that.
The AFL actually emailed me this week and asked if we could give Dustin Martin the Give Me the Fucking Ball Award. I'm yet to respond.
I never would give it to an AFL player, but if I did, it would be Dustin Martin because he's
Campbelltown's finest.
Yeah, correct. Campbelltown's own.
Who
knew that all you had to do to be the best player of your generation is be from Campbelltown?
That's all you got to do. It's not hard. Breed them tough out there. On a wrap, Butcher as well for that great tackle to save a Katoa try. I think Katoa did have a really good game, but remember that just towards the end of the first half, he made a really good tackle.
I thought he was going to score. I thought he was in.
And then I mentioned it earlier, but the combination effort from Lindsay Collins and Angus Crichton to stop Nick Meaney after that break down the right-hand side as well. Like some really good desperation defense from the Roosters in this game. But yeah, just not a lot in attack. It was very funny after the game. Like you talk about lacking self-awareness. Like their coach being a crybaby is incredibly unself-aware. But Connor Watson saying, oh, all their tries were off kicks. I'm like, Connor, all of your tries
were off kicks, Con.
No, you didn't have a line break. What are you talking about? And then speaking of lacking self-awareness, I think if someone had done to James Tedesco what James Tedesco did to Ryan Pappenhausen, where he's tripped him as he's about to be breaking into open space, Trent Robinson would have wanted that person arrested on the field.
Probably.
Yeah. Why don't we sin bin players for trips anymore, Nick?
I don't know. It used to be an automatic send-off. Back in the day.
I do love that is, because you've said that before, and I know it's true. I just love it. It's so funny, the idea that, like, dudes used to, like, elbow each other in the head, and it was let the boys play. But if you trip someone, it was, like, you're banned forever.
Well, this was almost like a slide tackle. Like, this is maybe a yellow card would have put him on notice.
Inspired by the Sydney Derby that took place on the same patch of grass on Saturday night.
Do you think James Tedesco could be an effective right back for Leeds United?
Yeah, he's got the passion. That's all you need. He's got to fight. He fights. Say what you will about Teddy. He's a fighter.
He'd have a continental style that I think the Leeds faithful would enjoy.
Absolutely. Let me work on a chant. I thought I was confused as to why that wasn't a trip. And then about a minute later, I was confused as to how after the Roosters spilled the ball, again, off a storm kick, when Cam Munster chips and chases for himself, that's deemed not an advantage.
Yeah,
just
I don't
bring
know.
In the free play. Bring in the free play.
100% party time. It was a pretty poorly officiated game. I thought Ash Klein was. I thought he like. I hate it when referees try and manage the game.
Mm.
You know, I think. But I thought that's kind of what we got. What we got in this one, just like a lot of.
I loved it when Ash Klein sinbins 7 dudes in the same game. It was awesome. Just do that.
Yeah,
all
but see, he didn't sinbin anyone in this one.
Well, he sinbin one.
Except Munster. Munster doesn't count. Like. That's just a thing that happens.
Like, it's so easy to sin bin Tedesco there. Just do it. No one would have cared.
Yeah. Oh, but like, between the penalties and the errors, neither side could really get into a rhythm at all. Mm. So, yeah, I think this is one that we will consign to the history books and never think about again.
Well said. Try! Try! This is a try! Brilliant! Brilliant play! I
think it's a try! Oh, I don't know if this is going to be a try! Gee, what about this bloke?
All right, and now it's time for our weekly segment, What About This Bloke, where we talk about a player from yesteryear, usually the late 90s, early 2000s. That is our sweet spot. Who is on the menu this week, Nicholas?
Sitting around and naming old footy players is the finest thing a person can do. It's literally my favourite thing to do in the entire world. And this week of the show, prestigious patron, my name is Nick Campton, rugby union is my favourite type of rugby, has given up a real beauty, Mr. David Harler.
Hmm.
So David Harler, for those of you who might not remember, was a front rower with Brisbane and a little bit with the Titans in the late stages of the first decade of the 2000s and then a few years afterwards. And a lot of the time on What About This Guy, the players chosen have a specific gimmick, and it might be a funny name, or it might be a big game they had once, or it might be some weird thing in their background, or it might just be they have one specific thing that they're very good at. And David Harler's thing was he was incredibly fucking strong.
Yes. That was his thing when he was coming up. Like the first stories I remember reading about David Harler was just how strong he was. He could bench press a car and all this stuff.
I think he clocked out at the bench press at 185 kilos at the Broncos. At the time, that wasn't just the most at the Broncos, that was the most in the entire league. And it was a special for years that every preseason there would be a story on David Harler about how this year he's going to leave the injuries behind because he's been bench pressing multiple people at once at preseason training. And this is the year he's going to come out and just absolutely wreck shit. It never quite went that way. He had a lot of injuries, Big Dave. When he played, I always thought he did quite well. But he just couldn't manage to stay on the field. I guess sometimes if your muscles are that big, they're more likely to get injured because there's just more surface area in which injuries become possible. But he was one of those dudes who for years I was like, the big fella can just stay fit. If you just stay fit, imagine what might happen out there.
Too many squats, you're saying?
Maybe not enough squats. I got the impression he was very much like an upper body type lifter.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I read the story in preparation for this segment that he bench pressed 187 kilograms.
Mm.
And that was breaking Brad Thorne's previous record. But when the Broncos unveiled the Carl Webb Tribute Strength Leaderboard at their facility, the new leaderboard, early this year, it's got Carl Webb as the record with 180. David Harler's been erased.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll stay on this story all night if we have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if it's named after Carl Webb, you got to give him
yeah,
the...
Yeah. Look, and it's a lot of the lifting numbers you see out of NRL clubs can be a bit dodgy sometimes. When I was at the Telegraph, there was a story we used to do every year called Fittest, Fastest, Strongest. And like, yep, it was two or three of us that would do it. And we would divide up the then 16 NRL clubs between us. And you had to get a quote or an anecdote about the fittest and the fastest and the strongest player at each club. And it always ended up doing really good numbers because a lot of people are interested in this sort of stuff. But it was the biggest pain in the ass story to do in the entire world because NRL clubs were incredibly secretive.
Oh, yeah, they hoard that information
about
like
that sort of stuff.
Like yeah,
you're going to lose games if we find out that you know Mike Acevo's squatting 500 kilos or whatever. But yeah, it was that shit was under lock and key. Like it was incredibly hard to get anyone to talk about how the guys were looking at training, even though you think it's the most innocuous information in the world. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's some fuzzy numbers out there. If some of those bench press and squat numbers don't quite pass the scrutiny of the the fourth estate.
Well, we're not the first one on this, by the way. I just found like Roasty posted a picture of the leaderboard when it came out, and the first comment on his post is from someone called Jazz saying, "I thought David Harler broke the bench record." So we're not the first ones on this,
mate. Well, that's the will of the people are standing up for our guy David Harler.
Do you think there's a single NRL that's ever played in the NRL that you could beat at any of those lifts? So bench, squat, or well, probably not chin ups. With respect,
definitely not chin ups. I can't do chin ups. Fuck me.
Do you think you could bench press more than say Jovan Clark, third bench of the week? Probably. You probably could.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not actually great on the bench. I'm much better at leg stuff.
Okay. Well,
but
yeah.
Everyone in the NRL is really good at leg stuff.
I wonder. I don't
think so, man. They're professional athletes. Like, I think the more interesting question is, who is the earliest rugby league player that you could outbench?
Oh, now that's fun.
Like, so could you bench more than Clive Churchill?
Oh yeah, 100%. I could. Yeah, definitely.
Could you bench more than?
Again, I'm more of a deadlift guy than a bench guy as well.
Reg Gasnier.
No.
Okay, so that's
the
line.
I'm not.
1960 is the line.
You've seen me, mate. Like my upper body is regular sized, and my lower body is very out of proportion. I'm much more of a leg guy than a upper body guy. But I get deadlift more than like most of those guys from like the 1940s or whatever. But anyway.
Well, back then they probably thought weights gave you a heart attack or something.
Yeah. Well, they probably all just sat in that machine that Homer sits in the softball episode, right?
Yeah.
David Harler. Yeah. I'm also been taken aback by this. He's a month younger than me.
Oh, I don't like that. I hate this. I was looking him up earlier this week, and I saw he was only 34, and I was like, that's not right. He could still be playing today.
Well, is he his Wikipedia says he's still playing for Redcliffe. Is that still the case?
I think that's been updated in quite some time. But David Harler's the sort of dude where he's got a very short highlight reel on YouTube, and it's pretty much just him trucking it back off kickoffs.
What's the background music?
Unbelievably hard. It is Master of Puppets.
Oh, okay. That's
pretty
strong.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty hardcore for Dave.
Is it this one where the guy spelled highlights wrong?
Yeah, it is. And the first highlight is him bumping off a dude, and then it's a replay of him bumping off a dude just in slow motion.
This is great. And yeah, man, I'll watch that later.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And do you know who the current bench press record holder in the NRL is?
Not the NRL. No, I don't. I mean, I would assume it's Marty Tapau.
He's the first NRL player to bench 200, they reckon.
I assume it's Marty Tapau, but it's probably not with the way you're asking me.
It's Royce Hunt.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Big Royce.
There you go, eh?
Yeah. I would have guessed maybe Payne Haas or something, but no, again, because he would have been on the Broncos.
I think Payne Haas is more footy strong than gym strong, you know, and you'd rather be footy strong. You know what I mean? It's like being farm strong. Like, I don't think like Liam Martin, for example, is crazy in the gym, but on the field, he's strong as shit.
Yeah. It's not much good that's more being important. Able to bench 200 kilos. If every time a crying redhead comes near you, you run away.
You know what? I'm sick of you and your Sharks buddies taking shots at Corey Horsburgh for being in touch with his emotions.
That was complimentary to Corey Horsburgh.
Calling him a crying redhead was complimentary.
That's just literal. It's literally
it felt like an attack. It felt like you and your little Royce Hunt lobby.
Yeah.
Trying to get back at cousin Corey because he fucking boxed the ears off him.
Looks like I'm looking at another crying redhead right now.
Well, it looks like I'm looking at a liar. a lack of truth upsets me, Bert, and I won't apologize for that.
I'm sorry, Nick.
You're not sorry.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, I know. So why don't you say just more lies, just more deception from Lion Matt Bungard.
That's what they call me.
That is what they call you.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't tell a lie.
You told several lies in that most recent sentence.
Yeah. Semantics. Moving on. So David Harler, what do you remember about him? Like, what's your best memory of him in a game? Do you have any?
There's a game against the Sharks in 14. I want to say it was Todd Carney's last game in the NRL. And the Broncos got out to a massive lead. thanks in no small part, like a 16-0 lead or something, thanks in no small part to a David Harler double.
Oh, if there'd been a Aurora Ball back then, that would have been carnage.
Bro, absolutely brutal. But
were those only two tries, or did he get any others?
He got, I think he got one more, maybe.
I got it up here, yeah. Three total. So two in that game. Love that.
Yeah, nice. Good stuff.
You got to love when a guy scores more tries in one game than he does in the rest of his career.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, it never quite worked out for Big Dave, but I always liked him when he was out there. I always thought he was effective.
Who's up next week?
Next week, a perverted female listener. I'm not sure of her actual name, but that's her name on Patreon. And she's been chosen. No idea what team she goes for. No idea what direction we're going to go with next week's and what about this guy. But I'm excited about it because I'm excited about it each and every week. A little bit more guy-related news before we move on. So on the Patreon show this week, we talked a lot about the Thelmere Roosters, who play out in Group 6, and right now they've got Corey Norman, Ken Seo, Curtis Scott, and Tim Simona all playing for them.
Mm.
This weekend, they're taking on the Southwest Goannas, who have a little bit of star power of their own. They've got Brad Takarangi and Greg Eastwood.
Wow.
Good stuff.
That is cool. I'm not going to dox our perverted female listener, but she's from Queensland, so it could be a another Bronco, perhaps.
North of the border.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's move on and talk about this weekend's games. Oh, there's a weight off my shoulders, Nick. Leeds don't play till Tuesday. I've got the whole weekend without these idiot teams I support ruining my life.
There you go. I can sense the lightness and ease in your manner.
Unfortunately, I am not really over this cold that I've had, so I will not be heading down to Wollongong this evening for Dragons Warriors, because I feel like if you're recovering from a cold, I feel like getting a train for an hour and a half, drinking several beers, and then standing out in the cold for 2.5 hours is not the best way to get over it.
Maybe that's the only thing you ever needed.
Perhaps, but
the only way we can find out is if you make that fateful trip.
I think that would be spitting in the face of medical science, and I don't want to do that. So, yeah.
Has science ever like kissed a girl or won the Super Bowl or put a man on the moon? Like, what's science ever done for us?
I imagine many sports scientists have got Super Bowl rings now, and I would also imagine that science is a
they don't key deserve
part
them.
Of...
Bunch of okay. nerds.
All right. Dragons hosting the Warriors. Again, this game on paper seems like a one-way street, but it's kind of like that Manly game from a couple of weeks ago where the Warriors have like a sneaky bad record down there. So be alert, but not alarmed.
Yeah, alert. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So they do have a bad record down there, but they did piece up the Dragons down there last year. So I think that's more important than any sort of long-standing poor record down there. The Dragons are difficult to figure out for me because sometimes they turn up and they play with a real toughness and a real energy, and that, if not winning them the game, puts them in the game, and then other times they just totally drop their bundle and fall to shit.
Yep.
So it's hard to know which Dragons we will get in this one. This is the sort of game where the Warriors should piece them up. You know, I think the Warriors are a much better team, a much more complete team, a team with much higher aspirations. But I would have said the same about Manly a couple of weeks ago. And what happened there? The Dragons managed to drag him down into the choppy waters of North Gong and managed to drown him there. So I still like the Warriors in this one, but I don't think they'll have it all their own way. I think the 5-day turnaround could be a tough thing for the Dragons to deal with, because I think they're still learning how to put their efforts back to back. I'm expecting Sean Johnson to give Tyrell Sloan a real hell of a time with his kicking game. Zach Lomax is back into the centers, so he might be a little bit more dangerous in attack, especially if he's able to get that combo with Ravalawa going. Ravalawa hasn't scored a try this year, so I might be one to look out for. But he probably won't be as prominent in yardage either. So... Mm. That'll be a loss because he's been so effective in that regard this season.
Yeah, it's funny. The instant he signs with Parramatta, they're like, yep, back to the centers with you. I don't really understand why. I understand it's because of injuries, right? But like, still, he's been so effective on the wing. I think this could be a real boost for the Warriors. But yeah, I think probably you'll see Rabalala get over the stripe at least once in this game, because he's probably been the person who's been harmed the most by Zach Lomax going to the wing, because not only did he lose his consigliere, but also it's shifted all of their attack to the other side of the field pretty much. So yeah.
I just imagined Lomax sitting behind the desk from the start of The Godfather and looking over to Ravalawa, and Ravalawa slowly nodding that he's doing the right thing.
In the last 2 days, I've pretty much done nothing but watch Sopranos clips on YouTube. So
yeah, you have I thought you were doing something like that because you keep texting me the quotes.
Yep, that's exactly what I've been doing.
Who's your number one Sopranos character?
Paulie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where are you?
Oh, Christopher.
Christopher.
It's got to be Chris.
I know we've done mobster draft before. We've got to do proper Sopranos draft at some point. I also love Phil Leotardo. What a character. God, he's a prick.
When he loses respect for Johnny Sack because Johnny Sack
cries as he's getting arrested at his daughter's wedding. So funny. Even by mob standards, that guy's a bigot. It's fantastic.
Dude, Frank Vincent,
one of the best actors. Man. Oh, my God.
I remember, I think it was the first time I watched Casino. And he's Frank Vincent gets his first voiceover of the movie at like the 137 minute mark.
So good.
I went up like I'd just seen someone tomahawk dunk over somebody.
Yeah. He's great in Goodfellas as well as Billy Bats. Man, RIP. Well,
could the Warriors then get an advantage because Rocco Berry is the most mobster name out there on the field.
Rocco Berry is comfortably the most mobster name out there. Mm. So that probably would help.
Mm. Well, it can't hurt. Certainly.
It definitely can't hurt. It is funny though because, the Warriors have been a little bit hot and cold this year, but they seem to have started figuring things out to an extent. I know they got a bit lucky last week to get a point. They were down by 8 with a minute to go, but you know that speaks to their character and how they were able to pull that out. And yeah, I'm tipping them in a close one. I don't think this will be a blowout. I've tipped them to win by something like 6 points, something like that, but. Yeah, Warriors narrowly for me.
Yeah, I'll go the Warriors, but probably by a little bit more. The Dragons bench is quite strange. It's four middle forwards, Laurie, DeBellin, Murdoch, Masilla, and Michael Molo.
Okay.
So I think that sort of tells you a little bit about how they want to play their footy in this.
Well, so Tom Eisen is starting at lock. Could he move on to an edge if someone needs to come off for a rest or something?
He could, but it's more.
Or do you
reckon
they'll just play Fatala, Mariner, and Sua 80 minutes each?
I think they will, and I think they're just going to try and overwhelm the Warriors in the middle as best they can, or at least turn this into some sort of rock throwing forward battle. Warriors are not the sort of team that I would want to get in that fight with, because not only do they have Fanua Blake, who is awesome, Tohu Harris, who we talk about every week, but Mitch Barnett's playing great footy at the minute.
He sure is.
He had a real blinder against Manly last week. He's really making it he's always been able to run the ball pretty well, and he offloads quite strongly, but his defense has been really, really good this season. We talked a bit about Kurt Capewell last week, how Manly were able to really target him up. Like, I would imagine that'll be another part of Saints' game plan, because I think that's their edge with Jaden Sua and Moses Suli. So they've got two of their really strong ball carriers down that side. But I just don't know if the Dragons quite have the personnel to trouble the Warriors enough. So I'll go the Warriors with a couple of late tries to blow the score out. And then we'll come on Sunday and go, well, the Dragons were going okay until the 65th minute. And then, you know, we'll do that sort of thing.
We do both talk like the Swedish chef from the Muppets. That's
we
true.
Do. That's right.
All right. Wayne Bennett, I love this. Just classic old man shit. Not going to Darwin. Too sick.
He's not having it.
He's not having it. Parramatta hosting the Dolphins up there. What do you reckon? Because don't Parramatta take a game here every year now, right?
They have for almost a decade.
For a little while now, yeah. Mm. And from memory, they took the Cowboys up there a couple of times and it didn't go well. So they wanted to stop doing that. And then since then, they basically didn't want the Cowboys. And I think since then, they've kind of turned it around a bit. But I feel like they've taken nothing but Queensland teams up there, maybe.
They took Canberra there up there a couple of times.
Oh, Canberra was the first one, all the way back in 2014.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, lost to the Broncos last year, got smashed. That's right, 35-4 at the hands of the Cowboys the year before that. Then had three wins in a row between a bad Broncos team in 2021, and then Canberra again 2019, Cowboys 2018. So they're 6-3 up there, but they've lost the last two.
Yeah, not great, but I think they're gonna take this one. The Dolphins have really had their guts ripped out.
Yeah,
with injuries over the last couple of weeks. It's kind of fitting that Bennett won't be there because that kind of sums up how up against it they are right now. They had to get special dispensation from the NRL just to name a full match day squad on Tuesday. Like they're really, really up against it. Like they're missing Tabuai Fidow, Tom Gilbert, Tom Flegler, and Herbie Farnworth, and that's their four best players.
That's not great.
And as much sort of spirit and tenacity that they can play with sometimes, there are limits to what you can achieve. And I don't think Para are in great shape at the moment, but I think they've got a bit more to them than the Dolphins do. And I think, especially in the middle of the field, I think they'll make that junior bowler switch again. They'll bring him on. They'll be able to really take control. I thought the Brown-Arcy combo worked a lot better than Brown-Talangi did. And I'm expecting a sort of more improvement from then. It wouldn't surprise me if Arcy tries to get a bunch of those big floaters going against Fuller and Bostock. I know Fuller's been really, really good in the Queensland Cup for a good couple of years now. Ben Teo, who's the Queensland Cup coach for the Dolphins, was saying that Fuller is past that competition now. Like he's sort of left it behind of how well he's doing, but not a lot of blokes who can put up those crazy torps in the Queensland Cup. You know what I mean? So you've got to test him with something he's not familiar with. I can't Coltrane Para this week because I Coltrane the Broncos last week, but this to me is probably the slam dunk of the weekend. If I could Coltrane it, I would.
I thought about doing it, but they are. If this was a Dolphins home game in Darwin, I would have done it. But I've done too many home teams already, so I've gone elsewhere. But I do think Parramatta will win this easily. And it's tough to make a case for the Finns in this one, just because of the guys that got out. Like as you said, all of their best players not playing is not good. In fact, it might be bad.
Look, we'll have to get confirmation on that one.
Mm.
But yeah, like I said, I think Para play their best when they go really, really up tempo, when there's a lot of offloads and Gutherson's really poking around the ruck a lot and they're really, really trying to push the pace of the game. They've got a lot of guys who suit that style really well. And at the best of times, that's probably not a great matchup for the Dolphins because they've got so many older blokes, particularly in their forward pack. But you take away a lot of their athleticism, a lot of their aggression, a lot of their guys who they'd be able to sort of fight fire with fire with, and all of a sudden it becomes a really, really hard one for them. You know, so I'm just struggling to see a path to victory for the Dolphins in this one, unless like, you know, Para dropped the ball heaps and it's pissing down rain in Darwin and, you know, Katoa's kicking game really gets going and the Dolphins manage to sort of scrap and fight and end up in front with 10 to go. But you need a lot of things to happen for that reality to eventuate. So like the Eels.
Hey, got it with the Bulldogs against the Roosters the other week. So
we did.
So Eels for me. All right, moving on. 3 o'clock.
One more thing. Really, really quick on this Dolphins game. Jesse Bromwich is playing his 300th game in the front row. He's the first player to ever do that. And if you get the chance, I would encourage you all to go on NRL.com, read this really good feature that this guy named Corey Rosser, who's based in New Zealand, he's really, really talented. He wrote a really great yarn about Jesse Bromwich's career and sort of talked about how remarkable it is that Bromwich has done all this because his start in first grade was, or his start in the top systems was a little bit inconspicuous. I might have told this story on the show before, but I'll do it again really, really quickly. So Bromwich never made any rep teams growing up in New Zealand. And when he finished school, he was 18 or 19, he moved to Orange in country New South Wales to play out there and do something out there because there was just more work opportunities. In the meantime, Kenny Bromwich, who was always in the juniors, was always rated as the better player. He signed with Melbourne and their father got a job in Melbourne. So they all moved over there with Kenny. And Jesse came down to visit them all over the summer and was down there for a couple of weeks. And Kenny said to the Melbourne Storm 20s coach, "My brother's a footy player too. Can he just train with us for a few weeks?" They said, yes. Jesse Bromwich ended up taking Kenny's spot in the Storm under 20 squad that season. And now he's turned into one of the premium front rowers of the last 15 years, a New Zealand Test captain, the first prop ever to play, ever to start 300 games in the front row, and an all-time favorite of mine. And I've just always loved that story because it just, it shows that great players can come from anywhere, you know,
that's
at
cool.
any time. Oh. Sometimes a guy just needs a chance, and Jesse got his the expense of his brother for a little bit, but it's always a great origin story for Big Jesse.
That's some war brothers shit. I love that.
It really is. Yeah.
I've opened a tab on that story. I'll read it when we're done.
It's very right. cool. Go check it out. Corey's really talented.
Okay. 3 p.m. Bathurst. Tigers won this game last year.
I hate
year.
Bathurst.
People forget the Tigers won this game last year. And I tell you what, Nick, that ins list for the West Tigers could feed families. Brent Naden, John Bateman, LG Lifesgood, Latu, and Samuel Afainu all back. Big ins.
It's a much better looking side, isn't it? A much better looking side. Lockie long game Galvin, of course, is going to improve in the halves. Bud Sullivan's been a bit underwhelming. And Solomon Atape probably had a bit of a tough game against Saints. And then not the best one against the Dolphins the week before either, even though he did get the double. Brent Naden's a player I've always really liked. He just sort of struggles to put consistent footy together, but I think he's should give him a little bit more strike out wide, which they kind of need. And I'm not going to tip him or anything like that, but I think if the Tigers play their best footy, it's not the Panthers aren't the worst stylistic matchup for them. You know, like they're kind of good at the same things, which is being really tough in the middle and really defensively sound and a strong kicking game that sort of kicks them to death. Like, you know, there was a reason that they were able to get that crazy win in Bathurst last year. I don't think we'll get a repeat, but I'm expecting a much better effort from the Tigers than what we saw on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And despite West's problems over the last few years, they do have a couple of wins against Penrith in the last few seasons. And their style does match up kind of favorably with Penrith, especially right now without Nathan Cleary in this team. It's a good time to get Penrith. And I do love those ins. I mean, I'm not bold enough to pick the Tigers to win this game. Maybe I should have been. But I think it will be quite a close affair.
I think the Tigers will give a good account of themselves. I don't know if it's a good time to play Penrith because they're always pretty good off the back of losses and they've had the bye to sort of freshen up and then stew about that defeat to Manly for a couple of weeks now. I'm expecting a really big game from Fisher Harris with the news that came out earlier this week. He probably wasn't at his best against Manly. I think he's still troubled a bit by that shoulder injury. He's had a bit more time to recover there. Scott Sorensen's back for the Panthers as well. That's a good inclusion just because he gives them so much consistency down that left edge. And even though Cleary is still out, I'm expecting Brad Schneider to just do all the regular Brad Schneider stuff, get that really big back five going. I think Penrith will win, and maybe even win pretty well. But I think the Tigers will give a good account of themselves for 50 or 60 minutes, and then we'll just see where it takes us, man. Maybe we'll have some new kings of the mountain. Who's to say?
Perhaps we shall. Yeah, Penrith for me, but should be a good game. I think it'll be closer than people think.
Mm.
Moving on, 5:30 p.m. The Gold Coast Titans, so close to getting their first win last week, hosting the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles. Philip Sami at fullback, no Jaden Campbell. AJ Brimson named in the halves. He played there last week, but he's been named in the halves this week. And no Toff Sipley, no Josh Aloyer for Manly. So that's a couple of big outs for their forward pack. But Manly still firm favourites in this game, and deservedly so.
That's the Des Bowl.
Hmm. Sure is. He's obviously won a game more recently for Manly than he has the Titans.
Yes, but even then he lost his last six for Manly. not great. Look, the Titans were a lot better against the Raiders. They probably should have won that game. I think Brimson foreign in the halves. I still would prefer Brimson at fullback, but they're going to be better off just having him around the ball more. Like he's just he's too dangerous a player to be stuck out in the centers all the time. I think Sami will be fine at fullback. Like he's played there before. And when he has played there before, like I know his passing's not the best, but he's a really dangerous ball runner and he's super, super busy. He's filled the power Sammy, man. He can do anything. Like, play him at 5'8", have him run for local government. Like, I trust him. I believe in him. Why don't you?
I do. What would his platform be apart from piss take Gutherinos?
Does he need anything else? Like,
no, that's enough to get my vote. To
be what honest. About getting get? What about hitting Greg Marju, the largest man in the NRL, with the two small?
That was funny.
That was amazing. God,
Phil Sammy's great.
Phil Sammy rocks.
But has he played much fullback? I don't really remember him playing.
He played
fullback.
There a couple of games. He played two games there back in 2020. I want to say.
Yeah, because DCE one of the game's best kicking options. So, going to be testing him early and often, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I think the previous iteration of the Titans would have a better shot at this than the current iteration, because if they were still madcap, fancy free, throw the ball everywhere and hope for the best, Gold Coast Titans, then that they could get into a shootout with this Manly team. And if you're in a shootout, either team can win it. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to quite have the creativity in them to really go with this Manly side. I think Manly have had a couple of games in a row where they've played it pretty tight and pretty close to the vest. I would like to see them sort of get back to that freewheeling style, because I think that'll give them the best chance in the long run of sort of having a real go in the competition. They're getting Jason Sarp back. That's good. Speed. He's fast, Matt. He's fast.
He does run fast.
Here's Taylor rolling the ball end on end. He's after it. He might have got it down. He thinks he did. Oh!
Cold train car.
So it also goes fast. A speeding Coltrane. Take it, Manly. I need an away tip. And look, I don't think the Titans players are going to be fired up to defend Dez against his old club, but I do think that Manly are going to be fired up to go against Dez. And I think they win this one very easily.
You want to know something crazy?
No.
Here's Taylor rolling the ball end on end. He's after it. He might have got it down. He thinks he did. Oh!
Cold train car.
That's the thing with trains, man. You're sitting there waiting for 10 minutes for one and then two arrive at once.
Okay, while some people might say you're a kiss of death, I choose to look at things optimistically because I believe in my friends. A, you won last week, and B, the last time we double Coltrane's a team, they won. It's Parramatta in round one.
Why did you have to lead with some people might say you're a kiss of death, but not me?
Because some are saying.
That's an incredible way of insulting me while also complimenting me at the same time.
Well, some people are saying bad things about you, Nick, but I am not one of them. So
why would you even mention that then?
I know they're
saying bad things about me.
Because it's all about being fair and balanced, Nick. You know, this isn't their ABC where we just get to espouse our personal opinions as facts.
Well, we just this run is our boom agendas. Rookies
where we've got to play it straight down the middle. Tell both sides of the story. But yeah,
Can't believe you're both sidesing me. This sucks.
I'm with you, mate. But I think this is a pretty safe pick. But hey, I am worried because I've heard a lot of people are picking them this week, and it always fills me with a bit of dread. But then, you know, sometimes the team that is the most tipped almost loses and then doesn't, i.e. Canberra last week were the most tipped team in the Coltrane Cup. So, well, I guess that means there can't be that many Manly tips this week unless people are breaking the rules. So,
Well, we're all happen. Together on this one, and if we all go to hell, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, we'll be. I've got to wait and see what Down and Dirty and Butts do, and also the other two people who are also on 6.
Honestly, if I were you, I would be asking Down and Dirty and Butts what they're doing every single week, because the most important thing to me would be preserving the Down and Dirty Bungard Butts supremacy at the top of the ladder.
We've also got Mick and Joel Wrigley, who are also 6-0, so they're also in the frame. Still fight, and our good friend GC sitting there in sixth place with the best for and against of the 5-1s.
Riding high. Ben Trbojevic is a bit of a loss for Manly. I've actually been quite impressed with him at second row this year.
Yeah, he has been good.
You are one of our most notable Corey Waddell fans. You're one of the Waddell Waddlers. Stand and salute. But, you know,
people can't Trbojevic see me, but I just saluted when he said
that. Matt Lodge is starting at prop in his first game of the season. I didn't really like what he was doing for Manly last year, but we have seen he can be effective in the short term for a club if they need some muscle up front. But yeah, I'm expecting Manly to have a little bit too much craft about him to be troubled by the Titans. I don't think this will be a similar thing to last week where Canberra mashed them in the forwards but then just gave up on backline shifts. I think it's almost the other way. I think it's going to be all backline shifts all the time. And I think
Manly love shifting it. They love it.
They sure do. I think they're going to be able to run and gun their way to victory.
100% agree. All right. The big game, the big fixture at Suncorp Stadium. Again, this is one that you won last year. Broncos, Raiders, Lang Park. How you feeling?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm always excited when Canberra play one of the good teams and they've been winning a few games, because these are the ones where you really got to measure up. You know, you got to see, you got to take on one of the best teams in the league and sort of see what you got. And Canberra don't really get to do that when they play Penrith, because Penrith sadly just totally own Canberra. But there's a lot of feeling in those two Broncos games last year as well. There was that first one where Canberra handed Brisbane their first loss of the season, and then there was that second one right at the end of the year that was close in the first half, and then Brisbane sort of ran away with it. But there was a lot of like, it was getting pretty chippy out there, you know, and then sort of capped at the end when Tarponet hit Reece Walsh with that shot when Walsh was kind of just trying to run down the clock. So I think there'll be a lot of feeling in this one, which I think Canberra need if they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to have to, not to put too fine a point on it, but I think they're going to have to play a bit of that gutter rugby league that I love to see from them.
Those dastardly Gold Coast Titans taught them how to play last week.
The good boys
of Canberra would never.
No, I'm very comfortable admitting what Canberra are, and I think that was more the Titans copying Canberra's style than
anything else.
The Raiders are going to have to do better than they've done in the last couple of weeks if they're to be competitive against the Broncos. And they've actually got a really important stretch coming up. They've got the Broncos this week, then the Sharks next week, and then Manly the week after that. And I think Canberra's proven that they can beat a lot of the bad teams in the league, but the two times that they've played two of the better teams in the league, which is the Sharks and the Warriors, they were in a position to win both those games, and they lost. So I want them to take that next step. I want them to be able to go toe-to-toe with some of the better sides, and I want them to be able to beat teams on a similar level to them, like Manly and the Sharks. So this is the start of a really important three-week period for them. If they were fully loaded for this game, I would maybe not be confident. I don't think you can ever be confident playing Brisbane in Brisbane.
No,
but I would quite like their chances. But Hosking's going to be out for a really long time. That means Mariota's going to have to go onto the edge, where I've been pretty impressed with him this year, to be honest with you. But it's just that's a vulnerability that I think the Broncos could really go after. So Mariota will be on that right side, which means he's on Brisbane's left, which is Ezra Mam's side. That's Selwyn Cobbo's side. That's a side where Brisbane can do a lot of damage if you let him. And while I really liked some of the signs from Chevy Stewart last week, he is still just a kid. He is just still learning. He returns the ball with a great vigor, but I think the Broncos are really going to try and mug him whenever he runs the ball back. I think they're really going to try and bash him out of it. I know he's brave and he's got a lot of ticker, but it's just going to be a lot to deal with. But I do give Canberra a shot here. I do think there's some matchups that they would like. I'm really glad that Dean Mariner wasn't playing this week, because it means Corey Oates is still going to be there. And I really like Corey Oates as a player. I'm glad he's sort of back in the first and all that, but he had a tough time under the high ball last week. And I think that's something that Jamal Fogarty will really, really go after. Fogarty's kicking game this year has just been terrific. Some of the best fullbacks and wingers in the league have struggled to deal with it. And I think I think Corey Oates best bring his raincoat, because the showers are going to be coming down. I think that's something Canberra's really going to go after. Canberra are going to have to play with a bit more attacking imagination than they showed against the Titans. But I think they've shown in other games this year that they can have that in them. In the Parramatta game, for example, where they were willing to sort of shift from their own end and use their speed and use some of the strength and the power of their outside backs. I would really like it if they did a bit more than that. And I think that they can maybe find some joy in the middle of the field as well. Like Carrigan's there, and obviously he's unbelievable. And Willison's great too, but...
Yeah, you look at the starting props especially. It's like Papali'i and Tarponet against Baker and Jensen. You love that.
Yeah, you do. And like, you know, Canberra will need a big start to really get into this one. I think this is going to have to be one of those games where Canberra get an early one and it puts Brisbane on
an
their
early
heels
Danny Levi tone setup.
Something like that. Something like that, certainly. But, you know, even though Brisbane are without Haas and without Reynolds, like we know how good they are. We've seen all the quality that they do have. And for them, I think it's just a matter of doing the things that they always do really well. I mentioned that matchup with Canberra's right side. So I think Mann will be looking to take on the line a lot. I think they'll be looking to get a lot of early ball to Cobbo as well. James Schiller has been really, really strong in attack this season. Defensively, not so much. So I think that they'll try and get as much, because I think they'll try and get Oates one-on-one with Schiller as much as possible. I think that's a really good matchup for them. And one of Canberra's weaknesses this year has been a tendency to concede tries in bunches. You know, like if they concede a try, then normally they're very vulnerable for the next 5 minutes. There's been
one brings two.
Yeah, a little bit. And there's been an alarming pattern of that this year. Like there was like that in the Titans game, in the Sharks game, in the Warriors game, even in the Tigers game. And there's one team that you don't want to be vulnerable for a long period of time against the Broncos, because they can score very quickly. And once they do score, you know what they want to do? They want to score again. You know, they want to fang it out to Walsh and have him sort of pull you apart. And then all of a sudden they've scored three tries in 10 minutes and Walsh is wearing his cowboy hat and there's no way back. So it'll need the best performance of Canberra's season if they're going to run this Broncos team close. But I think they can do it. I think they can do it. I'm going to tip them.
I'm tipping the Broncos, but I like your optimism. I think this will be a close game. So up for grabs.
Yeah. And like, I think it's more important for Canberra to run them close than it is for Canberra to win. I think Canberra is still developing as a side. And I think that the Manly game and the Sharks game are more important than this one, but
yeah,
a good performance here can really help set them up. Won't be easy. Never easy against Brisbane at Suncorp. But if I don't believe, who will?
I'm glad that you believe. It's important to believe. All right. Moving on to Sunday, 2 o'clock. We're back, Nick. We did it. We're back to 2-4. Our long nightmare is over.
Feels good.
No more 6:15 kickoffs. It does. Feels great. You said last week after the Dogs game that you thought Connor Tracy did enough to keep his spot even when Blake Torf returned, and that is the case. Task been named in 17 on the interchange bench, and Tracy's still there at fullback. So good call by you. And this game might be pretty close. The Knights have really struggled in most of their games this year, even that Storm game that they won, they barely did it. They've only really had that one comfortable game this year, that was against the Dragons. And the Dogs have been up for the fight in basically every game they've played.
They are. It does shape as an interesting one. I guess it really comes down to, so the Knights had whatever that crazy stat was, 3 games in 10 days or something like that. And Adam O'Brien sort of said against the Roosters that they ran out of gas. How much that impacted them will go a long way to determining what this game looks like. Because, you know, I have liked what I've seen from Canterbury the last couple of weeks. There have been some really good signs. And the Knights are still a fair way off what they were last year, a fair way off probably what they can be. And it's the sort of game where if they don't apply themselves consistently through the 80 minutes, maybe Canterbury can come back and pinch him. I like that move with Tracy. I think after a lot of experimenting, I think the Bulldogs have found their best back five. They're dangerous on both edges. They got Kiraz for yardage on the wing, and they've got Addo Carr for sort of their finishing and their speed. I think Burton's been much better these last couple of weeks. Really love it if Toby Sexton was at halfback instead of Drew Hutchinson. I just really think that's the final piece for them. But Josh Curran's been going okay in the middle of the field. I don't mind Sam Hughes either. He's a big man, at least, you know. And
I was surprised they dropped Kidione Katonga for this game. I thought he really gave him a spark when he came off the bench last week as well.
Oh, and that miss on Bloor at the end was pretty bad.
Other
than
that, he's been pretty solid. I think he's given them a bit more going forward than Persa Faumasili has. But yeah, I guess we're splitting hairs.
Well, I think Max King's going to play.
Okay,
he's got he's got that broken wrist, but he's a bit of a maniac.
He's on the extended bench.
Yeah, so I think he's going to sneak in, and that'll be a really big inclusion. For the Knights, Safidi and Thompson are sort of the key for them, because, you know, the way to beat the Bulldogs is still through the middle of the field. And Safidi, when it's been the common thread in all the good night's performances this year, when Safidi and Thompson play well, then everything else sort of happens for them. You know, they kind of set the platform and set the tone and away you go, but it just hasn't sort of happened as consistently as you might have liked.
Anyway.
Did you know Kai Pierce-Paul was in a Stormzy music video? I only found this out the other day.
No, but you know, I want to know all about it. Yeah, of course.
I'm just making sure. But yeah, I think it's Know Me From.
Okay.
And there's a bit right at the end where it's Stormzy's rapping and there's a big crowd of blokes behind him. And right up the back is a very young Kai Pierce-Paul.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. Cause he's a very rare London junior Kai Pierce-Paul. I think he's from Croydon or something like that. But yeah, I'll tell you, man, I wouldn't mind Stormzy coming off the bench for the Dogs. He's a big man.
For 5 points, can you tell me which two NRL players were in Anthony Mundine's music video?
Joe Williams and Amos Roberts.
Incorrect. It was Amos Nathan Roberts Merritt.
Yep. There you go.
You were close. I'll give you 1.5 points. Good job.
Platinum Rider.
Mm.
What a tune.
I've never listened to it. I just know that's a tune.
It's not great, man.
Anthony Mundine's rap song isn't great.
Yeah, he had an album called Dreams that he recorded.
He had a whole album of songs?
It was never released. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, that seems like a lot of music for a guy that's, you know, not a musician to put out.
So for the Knights, if they can get the forwards going, if they can get Ponga and Best linking, if they can sort of get some better footy out of Greg the Leg Marju, who probably hasn't quite been at his best this season, I think they might sort of have too much strength and power to them across the park for Canterbury to deal with. But like some of the signs from Canterbury the last couple of weeks, and I'm tipping them for the upset here. I am.
Wow. Big
yeah,
tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this game will be close, and I couldn't bring myself to tip the Bulldogs, but I think they'll be right in this, and I think the market reflects that, and I think it is going to go right down to the wire. So see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like we talk about the same things every week with the Knights. You know, they're a bit of a difficult team to find a newer slant on. You know, because it feels like it's the same. It's similar issues. Most weeks, you know, which I guess you can silver line it and say, well, that means there's only a couple of things they got to sort out. I'm keen for the Best Crichton battle, two contrasting styles of players. Crichton, so sort of crafty and graceful, and Best sort of very hard scrabble and hard running. We still haven't got the breakout Brabin Best game this season yet. It's coming, but we just got to keep waiting for it. Maybe it'll happen in this one. Maybe we get a repeat of that 66-0 Newcastle massacre that they dropped on the Bulldogs last week with Bradman Best scores 8 tries. But I'm hanging out for that. Once the Bradman Best breakout game happens, then I'll know that the Knights are truly back in business. You know, because
that'd be nice.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice for everybody.
I think everyone's been kind of frustrated by that. So I think that Roosters game really summed it up. Like, I know he ended up with 1 billion meters in that game, Best did, but like, none of it really came from giving him good ball one-on-one against Michael Jennings, which is what we were screaming for them to do.
Absolutely. And sometimes we can fall into the trap of a team, if a team has really good centers, and we'll just pass him the ball, and everything will work out. And for evidence of that, see every Broncos game with Katoni Staggs before last year and every single Roosters game with Joseph Manu. It's not as simple as just throwing in the ball and hoping. You've got to sort of run a nice pattern for him, run a nice shape for them. And that's kind of been the struggle for the Knights with Best this year. Like, talk about it a lot. If you get Ponga 2 passes wide and he's linking with Best, there's not many defenses in the competition that can stop that. But it's kind of been a struggle for them to put it together. But I guess that means that it's a weapon that eventually they're going to get it, right? Mm. They're all too talented. They've all done this too much before to not get it. So maybe this is the week they get it.
Fair enough. All right, last game of the round. The top of the table, Cronulla Sharks against the North Queensland Cowboys at Shark Park. Big game.
Talk me through it.
Clash.
Up it, bruh.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like from a Cronulla point of view. No Murray Taulagi. Your man Semi Valame comes back into the back line. They get Braden Hamlin-Uele back. He's named at 17, so that's really important, I think, for their forward rotation. He'll give them a little bit of extra push. I thought they were decent last week, but I think that there's another level that the Sharks can go to. I know the Cowboys have had a couple of better results in Sydney this year. I mean, the Dragons game And, you know, they didn't win against Parramatta. They played okay last week. But I think when they go down to the Bermuda Triangle, Nick, it's getting a bit cold. It's going to be hostile. There won't be a Cowboys fan in sight. I don't know if they have the gumption about them to keep up with the Sharks this week.
The challenge here for the Sharks is rising above North Queensland's insanity. If they sort of find themselves drawn into a shot-for-shot battle, like a try-for-try thing, then that is the best method. That is the best avenue for victory for the Cowboys. And the Sharks have shown themselves to be susceptible to getting into those sorts of games before. But if they really stay on the job through the 80 minutes, are really consistent with their effort, I think eventually they'll be able to wilt the Cowboys. It's very rare that we say this about the Sharks, but I think they can win this game in the middle of the field. I think once those Cowboys starters go off, once McLean, Tamalolo and Cotter aren't on the field, if the Sharks can play it right and have Rudolph, Talakai, Hamlin, Newelly, or Williams, if they can, when those guys come on and the poor old cows are going with Granville, McIntyre, Krzyzewski, and Neem, I like Neem, but the other three, not as much, that might be when they can take this game away from the Cowboys. Really search forward, really take a little bit of control. That's sort of going away from what Cronulla do well most weeks. Most weeks when they win, it's because their back five really gets going with their yardage and their halves are able to create and all that sort of thing. But so I think they've got to play against type just a little bit, but that might be a good thing for them in the long run. You know, I know that some of your Sharks brethren are a little bit concerned about this game just because it's a bit of a banana peel. It's the sort of game where the Sharks can and have slipped on in the past, you know, but I kind of like them to get it done here. You know, I think they're the ones who are going to be able to dictate terms in this match. And if they do, I think they're going to be able to play a style that the Cowboys aren't really going to be able to confront.
Yeah. Debut for Samuel Stone Street, local junior player
Sammy,
of the wing.
Sammy Rocky Road.
Mate, that's great. You get on him for debut try, surely.
Oh, the Rocky Road, bro. You have to.
You've got to get on the Rocky Road. But yeah, that's cool. Love it when a local junior debuts for a team. Every chance of getting a try. Their wingers score a fair few tries, and he's playing out there. So see what happens. Yeah, the Cowboys have been an interesting team in the sense that whilst their ladder position is quite lofty, again, it's come really because of, you know, it's been a lot of that has been a product of their draw, right? Like, you know, they smashed the Dolphins. They were very lucky, I think, to beat the Knights. And, you know, they played a pretty mediocre Dragons team, a bad Titans team. And then the two times they've been tested in Brisbane and in Parramatta, they couldn't stand up to it. And I guess this game and the next game will tell us a lot about who the Cowboys really are. They've got the Panthers 6 days after this game. So,
it is
in Townsville, at least. But I think the next, the 7 days between these two games will tell us a lot about who North Queensland really are as a team rather than what we've seen from them so far, I think.
I agree. So it's early in the season, but I think it's a real gut check time for them.
Yep.
Because like, I wouldn't even say that Parramatta were the biggest test in the world. I think if the Cowboys were a serious team, they would have handled them. And not only did they not handle them, they couldn't handle anything. They just dropped the ball heaps and looked terrible. But I guess part of their vibe is that they can do that and then all of a sudden look great the next week. So, and if the Sharks don't impose their will on the Cows, and then Scott Drinkwater in the Shire Sun is out there slinging passes and stuff, and Nane's getting up there for a couple of tries, and you know, crazier things have happened.
I guess
nothing surprises me with the Cowboys anymore, really.
No,
when I think about
not.
It,
definitely not. But I am tipping the Sharks.
Yeah, me too.
Simi Randrandra trying the chip and chase. Oh, no, it's Simi Randrandra. Randrandra's away, Simi Randrandra.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Oh, yes, it will, yes.
Simi Randrandra.
Oh, he's absolutely buried it. Randrandra.
Okay, news time. Starting with the biggest signing news in recent history, I would say, James Fisher-Harris heading home to New Zealand to join the Warriors from Penrith. We talked about it on the Question Time show. I posted a little clip of what we talked about on our social media pages, so you might have seen that already. But we both agree, Nick, that this is the biggest loss that Penrith have had by some distance.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote a little bit about this the day that it happened. I think it's one of the very few losses that, well, it's one of the few losses that Penrith would not be able to bear. You know, like, I think the only things that they absolutely positively have to have to be successful are Nathan Cleary's kicking game and Isaiah Yeo and James Fisher-Harris in the middle of the field. And I think a lot of their recruitment has been based around that being the only things they cannot do without. And now they are going to lose one of those things. And they're losing not just a player who's carries the ball well and tackles really well and passes and offloads with real sophistication, but they're losing a guy who I think who gives them a lot of that day-to-day attitude, that ravenous hunger for excellence, that real sort of never being satisfied with anything less than the best. I think a lot of that comes from Fisher-Harris. And even if they do sign someone who can run for heaps of meters or whatever, they're losing a vibe, man. They're losing a spirit. I think they're losing a little piece of their soul, and you can't buy that back.
No, well said. It's going to be fascinating to see how they replace it, because obviously there's no way to replace a player like that. So we'll see how they work through this going forward. Because I agree with you. I think what we said on Wednesday was that there's only three players really that they can't afford to lose, and he's one of the three. The other two being Yeo and Cleary. So, yep. All right. Other signings, real quick. James Schiller's gone to the Knights. Carl Lawton's gone to the Cowboys. So hot seat, Jake Granville. I think
it's the end. I think it'll be his last year then.
I mean, what a career though. I mean, I do love that he's just still on the Cowboys bench every week.
Did you know that he has now been the Cowboys bench utility for longer than was the Cowboys starting hooker?
That's really funny.
That is insane.
They had Aaron Payne for a while, right? So was he ever like Aaron Payne's understudy?
No, they never crossed over.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That does surprise me a little bit then.
Yeah. I like Schiller for the Knights. Canberra's got a lot of depth in their outside backs. You can't keep them all. And I think the Knights offered Schiller the opportunity to play center, which I think is his best position. And Canberra just can't do that because they've got Seb Chris and Matt Timoko. But he's super quick. He's improved out of sight over the last couple of seasons. Like the difference in him compared to when he debuted to now is really, really something. He's a Newcastle boy. Fella's going home. Knights fans are going to absolutely love him. He looks like he's just come off the job site to come up there and do a job for the Knights. So, yeah, good get for them. I wonder what's going to happen with Gagai, though. There's a weird rumor that the Roosters are looking at Dane Gagai now. And it's like,
they love having one old outside back for some reason.
They do, yeah, but that was a bit of a strange one.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about the Roosters poaching Ethan Strange anymore because he's locked up until the end of 2028. You must be delighted.
So, so stoked. Absolutely love it, man. Has taken to that 5'8 spot just unbelievably well. I'm so, so impressed. A really smart player, a really busy player. He's already really good and he's only going to get better. Absolutely love him as a footballer. Could not be happier with this bit of business.
Yeah, and Joey Manu, like, am I going crazy? I thought we already all knew this was happening.
Yeah, I don't. It hadn't been officially announced.
Right, okay. Because like, but when someone all, was like, Joey Manu's leaving the Roosters, I got to go. I think it was your friend of mine, Martin Journalism Gabor. I was on the phone to him on whatever day it was. He's like, I got to go. Joey Manu's leaving the Roosters. And then he left. And I sat there thinking, wait, didn't we do this months ago? But I guess not.
Well, here we go. It's funny.
Toyota Verblitz. What a team.
Where are they based?
Toyota.
the fine city of Toyota.
Oh, Verblitz, you'll love this, is a portmanteau of verde, which is the Spanish word for green, and the word blitz.
Yeah, but the town's not called Verblitz, is it? Like,
No. I'm not being a dick. They're in Toyota.
Is Toyota a place in Japan?
This is not me doing a bit. I can't believe you're Googling this. I'm not doing a bit. It's called Toyota.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you were. Sometimes you're not.
That's true.
I do often
joke bits like that, but no, it is genuinely, the place is called Toyota.
Toyota Joe.
Yep, Toyota Joe.
There you go.
Yeah, Verblitz is like the second name, like Wanderers or whatever.
Okay, righto.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's half green, half blitz.
Yep. He'll go do that for a couple of years and then come back to the Roosters.
Oh, so they've chosen verde, which is, as I said, Spanish for green, but then the blitz part is German for lightning. So they're the Toyota Green Lightning.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's when you explain it like that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, look, he's a loss for rugby league, but he's making his choice and he wants to go earn some of that sweet yen. So
well, the Toyota Green Lightning have two players that I've heard of.
Who are they?
Beauden Barrett and Aaron Smith.
Oh wow, fucking hell. Yeah, that's two.
If I've heard of you, you must be good at rugby.
Two good teammates to have.
Wait, hang on. I also remember Will Tupou, who played for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's played for Japan plenty of times.
Yeah, because his name has got a Japanese flag next to it on this team. Yeah. I'm like, wait, Will Tupou? And then I click on it. It's the same guy. There you go.
Yeah, He's been playing for Japan for years now.
Oh, doing and their director, over there. I've also heard of their director of football, which is Steve Hansen, Sir Steve Hansen.
What if we rebrand as a Toyota Verblitz fan podcast?
The Green Lightning Boys.
Yeah, it's like, I hate those Coca-Cola Red Sparks.
Yep. Those jerks. Green Lightning is a sick name. But yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we got to the bottom of Toyota Verblitz, which on face value sounds like a very silly name, but in actual fact, makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
Yeah. So it also makes sense, listeners. Giving us money on patreon.com. And before we get out of here, I'd like to give a thank you to the people in the top two tiers on our Patreon subscription service. If you would like to support us, patreon.com/NRLRookies, you get access to our Discord server, an extra show every single week, two shows this week, merch discounts, and plenty more. So. Thank you to a perverted female listener. Sup, Chris Abnell, Dave, someone send Alex Turner a Steeden. Stu, sexy, stupid sexy Hines, you're a Dally M god. Adam Small, Boom Rookies, carbon neutral thanks to the Campton family tree, carbon offsets. Broncos legend, Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pied in Pom, Buttsy, Chivaka Snuffleupagus, Dan Cullinane, David, detachable Benthany. An anonymous backer, down and dirty Bungard Butts, Ed Burton. I'll get back to you shortly. If you're listening, whoa, I'm me. Jason, Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, kicks outs out of the world. Lachlan Hancock, Mads, Taylor's Virgin, Matthew Duggan, Matt's co-host named Campton. I've been calling him Crandall. Mr. Beefy, Morgan Watkins. My name is Nick Campton, and rugby is my favorite type of rugby. My ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad. Never trendy. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. Give me the fucking ball. Pasami Army, Paul Mac 78, push it up. Manly, Reese Brown, Rowan Rodrigo, Roxanne Clark, see you in Vegas. Shunter, I'm saying nup to the Coltrane Cup. Ty, the Black Vegetable, the Brisbane Sniper, Thor, Tonya Harding versus Nancy Kerrigan, Woz, Westlife Podcast, West Tigers are back, baby, and ZZZ kicks out of the comp, sunglasses emoji. Thank you so much for your support, everyone in the lower tiers, and everyone who just listens. Thank you as well. Shout out to Scorse, by the way, for changing his name to a lyric from a Jimmy Eat World song that is not the middle. That's just for me. Good work, Scorse.
that really is just for you.
Hope the Raiders win this week,
bro. We got Jimmy Eat World, we got some Billy Ocean. I like it how I like it when the patrons get musical.
Yep, me too. So we're up to four kickouts out of the comps now.
I like to envision a future where every Patreon name is just kickouts out of the comp.
Yeah, so
there's ascension in the ranks. Somebody wants them kicked out of the world.
Well, yeah, so that's Josh. And then Maddie McP and Dina, the kicks out of the comms. And Frankie's gone ZZZ.
Frankie's jumped
in. Just so I have to read it last. No, his was kicks out of the comp last week, but he's put ZZZ at the front. So I think I have to read it last. And that's the most gravitas. I assume that's why he did that. It's like he put AA, like have you ever seen like older relatives put like AAA next to the people they call the most on their phone?
No, I haven't. That's cool. Have you never?
Yeah. So like AAA, like Nick Campton or AA Harry Ramage, the people I text the most, we put them at the top.
That's funny.
Yeah.
There you go. Dissension in the hutch, eh?
Clearly. All right. Oh, it's a shame not going down to Wollongong. I love that stadium. But nevertheless. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm working tonight. Then I got a wedding tomorrow night.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Anyone I know?
Very exciting. No, it's one of my cousins, Cousin Mike.
Oh, give Cousin Mike my best. Will Cousin Liam be there?
No, it's the other side of the family.
Will Cousin Corey be there?
Maybe not. Raiders playing that night. They'll probably want Core up in Brisbane in case something pops off. I was watching when I get home.
Okay. Go dark. Zero Dark 30.
That's right.
I did that. I think it was 2022. I went Zero Dark 30 because we had a wedding and it was the first weekend of the finals. So I watched Raiders Storm and Sharks Cowboys back to back afterwards. It was great.
Banging. The last Raiders game I went Zero Dark 30 for was that lunatic game against the Tigers at Campbelltown last year.
Oh, I was there. Why couldn't you come again? It was your mum's birthday, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We had a family trip away for my mum's 60th.
Yeah.
And it was really, really great. It was, you know, don't get to spend as much time together as we all used to because we're all out living our lives, but it was a really, really great trip. And we're out at Mudgee. We're all hanging out all night or whatever. And then it was 11 o'clock and everyone else had gone to bed. And I was like, all right, well, now I can watch the Raiders and watch the first 60 minutes. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is fantastic. Croker's 300th next week. This is awesome. And then the Tigers scored 3 tries in about 30 seconds. Sure and did. Brooks kicked a field goal to put them up. And this, I think the Tigers had, I think, they only won one game all season. And Bateman had scored a try. And I was like, this is the worst thing I have ever done in my entire life, watching this game. These fucking idiots. I hate them so much. God damn.
Penalty.
Absolute worst. And then they get the penalty, kick the goal. And I was like, fuck, maybe they can hold on. And I don't know if you remember, but the Tigers were attacking Canberra's line in the last second.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think it was someone made a break and offloaded, but after the offload, the play went for too long and they weren't able to get a field. They didn't have time to get a field goal shot away.
Yeah, it ended with some forward just like getting tackled 10 metres out.
And I was like, well, you know, winners win.
Terrific. All right. Winners thank you, everyone.
Win. So hopefully this time it doesn't send me as insane.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope, listeners, you enjoy your weekends as well. If you've got weddings, mazel tovs to your respective loved ones. Say goodbye, Campo.
Goodbye, Bertrand.
And it's goodbye from me.